Welcome to From Carpool to College, a show for parents who are trying to keep their sanity while navigating the college planning landscape.
Hey, Chase.
Oh, hey, Tara.
How's it going?
Pretty decently.
All right, listen, I have a question for you. I've been wanting to ask you about this topic, which is a little bit different than what we normally talk about, but I'm so intrigued because it seems to be really, you know, trending or whatever you want to say. And it's about, you know, like alternative paths.
Oh, I love that. That's what I do during the day. That's like my day job.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of people who've done it.
I do.
But it's scary, right? For parents.
Right. Because it's off the beaten path. It's not part of the life is linear model that we all try to plan for ourselves and our children.
Right. And if you think back, I know we always bring back our experiences going to college, even our parents, right? And their paths. It was very safe for the most part. And those paths usually were very traditional, you know, but as we've moved further and further away from that generation and from that kind of mentality, it seems that it's opened up a whole host of possibilities, right, for people, which is actually good if you think about it because, you know, everything, the world is changing in so many ways.
I am wondering what you're going to ask me because this is like, what is it? What did you find?
All right. So first, I have to tell you about this. As you know, we're both teachers, right? Mm-hmm. And or... You have.
I still identify as a teacher.
I
do. Because a school counselor is like a teacher, but we just get to finish our coffee when it's still hot and we get to go to the bathroom anytime we want to.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. So we were thinking of, you know, different topics for our show. One of the things that I thought of, who actually then showed up in my social media feed, is a former student from the town in which I teach.
Did you teach this student?
I did not teach her because our town, as you know, is split. We have township and borough. And she was in the borough, right? So, but this is someone who took a I don't want to say non-traditional, but who took a different path and didn't go to college right after high school.
Clutching my pearls.
Mm-hmm.
A person
exactly.
Who did like that, that the culture, our American culture is high school, right to college.
Right.
And parents, I also want to caution you as you're talking to your kids' friends, don't ask them where they're going to college as some kind of default when you're at the graduation parties because not everyone is going to college. And that is totally fine and becoming a trend. Mm-hmm. I always ask young adults, you just graduated high school. Congratulations. So what's on the horizon for you?
It's great.
What do you need? Next steps.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, oh, where are you going to college?
Right.
Because that is not always the perfect pathway for every single person.
Right. It's not. It's not. And you can feel like that sense of dread whenever that question does come up, right? You can see that. So we have an individual by the name of Maggie Doyne.
Maggie Doyne. How do you spell her last name?
D-O-Y-N-E.
Doyne. Okay.
Yeah.
We Jersey accent that, don't we?
We did.
Oh.
Similar to voice, right? I work on a daily basis to say that in a way that is just...
How are you supposed to say voice?
I don't know. It's one of my little... You know, things that I think about at night. Yes, my life is exciting. But nevertheless, so we actually had Maggie Doyne come and visit us to speak about her life after graduating West Morris Mendham High School. And she took all of her babysitting money, went on a gap year, wound up in Nepal.
What? What?
Mm-hmm. Her story is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I may even have that part off a little bit. She may have gone to Nepal and then called her parents, I think is how it worked. She called her parents and asked them to send her babysitting money that she had saved up so that she could eventually, what she has done is created an entire school and organization to give education to children in Nepal. She's unreal.
Unbelievable.
She's unbelievable. And she has a movie that's out, a book, and then they turned it into a movie.
Oh, good for her.
Called Between the Mountain and the Sky, which is actually going to be showing in New York City soon. But
oh, we should go see it.
We should go see it.
Is it in previews or something?
It is.
Or just in
shown,
small theaters.
What
do they call that? Like limited release or something? Oh, we should totally go see
it. She was actually even named CNN Hero of the Year in 2015.
I think about what I did as soon as I graduated high school in 1990, and it was certainly not heroic. Certainly not heroic.
Right. So, obviously, when you think about gap years, right, it can be scary, and not everyone will be a Maggie Doyne.
Right.
But I want to know more about these alternative paths.
Okay, so I do see an increase in students who are electing to take gap years for different reasons. And first of all, let's operationally define what a gap year is. So a gap year, according to in our world, in our counseling world, is when a student will hit pause on their formal education and enter into a different type of learning experience. That could be a job, it could be travel, it could be creating a school in Tibet, it could be something that is not inside of a classroom. Mm-hmm. Okay, so some parents, and I have students too, I have students who said, yeah, I'm going to take a gap year and just take like classes at the community college, and then I'm going to apply to a four-year college. I'm like, well, that's not really a gap year. That's starting at a community college, which is a solid choice. And we can talk about that later because I'm seeing a huge increase in that. But back to the gap year, it's hitting pause on the formal education. Now, the formal education we could talk about later, too. That looks a lot different these days as well. But that gap year could be informally going on your own, getting a job, backpacking across wherever, or just kind of staying home maybe and figuring stuff out. There's that too, because certainly I know I cringe whenever I think about it, the stupid pandemic, mm-hmm. and how it messed us all up. You know, we're just now seeing all that, not just now, but we're seeing a lot of collateral damage from it. And we have students who, oh God, they really, for different reasons, they're not ready for college. They're not ready academically. Mm-hmm. And particularly, I know we've talked about this before in math. Mm-hmm. So I could speak to my own two sons, and you know, I love them and they're awesome. But I got to tell you, when we were home during the pandemic, I don't think they wore shirts for 3 weeks. And every single class, they were also playing their Xbox. Mm-hmm. They didn't learn jack squat, especially in math. All they learned how to do was cheat. Not all of it. Sorry, Joey and Alex, if you're listening, you guys know what ridiculousness went on during those virtual days. And I'm not saying Joey and Alex did this, but certainly there was a network of black market doing homework for whoever and swapping papers and whatnot. So I guess there's some discrete learning that went on, but certainly it was not traditional. So it has caught up with the kids. And now they're seeing in higher ed, the students are having a hard time biting into that college curriculum. So if you know your kids, like really know, or if you have that, that little fear in the back of your head, parents, like, oh my God, is my kid actually ready? Because I have never even seen my kid do homework. And this is what parents talk to me about.
Yeah.
Like when my kids were in high school, I barely saw them do homework. I barely saw them write papers. I don't think I've read one, maybe two papers that they've written. And now they're going to engage in college work? Oh my gosh, hell no. So did I send my kids off to school anyway? I did, but in different ways, which another more episodes. So academic reasons, we take a gap year. We're not ready. Maybe we're going to take some remedial courses. Maybe we do some Courseras. Maybe we get tutoring. I don't know. But also the emotional piece too. We have kids with a lot of social anxieties. Depression, anxiety is through the roof. So maybe we hit pause and we work on our emotional behavioral health. Great reasons. Maybe we're just not independent. Maybe we get a part-time job and we learn how to show up at ShopRite 10 minutes before your shift and leave 5 minutes later. Mm-hmm. All of those skills, all of those things could be a gap year. Or you can do a formal gap year where there are plenty of organizations, profit, nonprofit, that will, for a small fee, hook you up with a more systemic, organized learning curriculum where your child is whisked away to, say, I don't know, so a different country. Maybe you want to go to Italy to learn Italian. Maybe you want to go to Costa Rica to study the rainforest. Maybe you want to go to wherever. And there's curriculum embedded in it based mostly on interest. In some cases, there's college credit earned. It really is tied to the money that you put in mm-hmm. and the accreditation of the gap year programs. But there are some solid programs for sure. So the gap year is quite a thing. Did I tell you about my son Joey's friend who took a gap year?
No. What about her?
Okay. So she, Tara's like, sure, yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about because I showed you her Instagram.
Yes,
which
you
is
did.
Amazing,
all right,
right,
good. Yeah,
but I'm going to tell you about. I showed you her because she's
did.
Beautiful.
Yes,
she's beautiful.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say her name, but hopefully she will be a guest for us and she could talk about her experience. But she, brilliant girl, pre-med dancer. And she has a very prolific social media, Instagram and TikTok videos. Of course, I've watched and liked them all because I adore her. Because she's brains, beauty, talent, and she had the guts to take a gap year. She ended up, as a dancer, she danced on a Royal Caribbean cruise line as part of the theatrical troupe.
Right.
Got paid for it and traveled the freaking world.
Unbelievable.
And she kept her acceptance to her four-year college. So she applied to all her colleges and she got in her, I don't know where else she applied. I'm not going to say where she went, but very competitive school.
Right. Wait, so hold on 1 second to interrupt just for a quick second. You can pause your acceptance.
Yes, you can defer Explain your
that.
Acceptance.
Okay.
Yes, you can defer your acceptance.
Okay.
So let's say you're considering, like this girl, right? She was considering a gap year.
Right.
But she wasn't sure. So she applied to colleges. Don't forget, you're applying to colleges in the summer before your senior year in high school. So it's really hard to know. When things came together for her with getting this job on the cruise line, she was getting accepted to all these different colleges. So she picked the one that she wanted to, said yes to the dress, and asked for a deferment. Can I defer my admission? Because she's accepted, but she could defer her admission for a year.
For one year.
Would you please keep my financial aid? Would you hold my spot for the next graduating class? And I will attend. And they did. And she's there now. And she is thriving. Mm-hmm. And my God, her Instagram.
Yeah, it's amazing. So in order for that, those things to fall into place, I mean, her parents must have been super supportive, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
So that's a piece of it. So knowing that something like this could come up is very helpful because, you know, you're not bracing yourself, but just kind of in your mind as you're working through the college planning, you know, experience, if this does come up, you don't have to feel shocked and disappointed or.
No, we're talking about kind of veering off the beaten path. That's
yeah.
kind of the theme of what we're talking about. But as, you know, as time is marching on here, as the world is changing so quickly, there never were any sure things. But I think for people our age, we know life is not linear. Life hasn't been linear. Our careers have not been linear. And we are very purposeful in focusing on where our boots are on the ground with not getting too caught up in worrying about the future. You know, there's Xanax for that, right? But for our kids, they very much feel that there's some kind of scripted recipe card and I must, you know, A equals B equals C. And they have been through that. We've trained them that with school. We talked about that too. Like, you don't have a lot of choices. Mm-hmm. When you're in school, you're going to, you know, you finish ninth grade, you're going to 10th grade, and these are the classes you're going to take. Your biggest options are, oh, you get your two electives, and what levels do you want your courses to be? It's kind of linear.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You look behind you, it's like, oh, this is how I got here, and here I am now, and this is where I'll be next year.
Yeah.
You meet with the school counselor and make your plans.
Right.
So it's kind of, it's not a surprise that kids think life is linear as students. That's what they're immersed in.
Right.
But now that we're entering into that realm of you're going to have a lot more options, we do need to remind ourselves, parents, that life is not linear and we are the sum of our experiences. And we have to listen to our kids. We have to look at them and not impose what we think is right just because it's what our experience is, because the world has changed and they have a lot more choices, a lot more experiences. So that's kind of the gap here.
Yeah.
That's kind of it in a nutshell. I think it's a big fear thing that kids won't go back to school after they take a year off, but it's becoming increasingly more common, and parents having a conversation about boundaries and expectations.
Did you ever consider it?
Back in 1990?
Yeah, never.
No.
Yeah.
A gap year was like a gap. First of all, the gap was like
where you
fall
went
into the gap.
Yep.
Where I would buy my jeans.
Yep.
Which, by the way, do you remember how high quality the jeans used to be?
Yes.
And now they're like crappy ass cotton.
Yep.
That chafe.
Yes.
It's terrible. Anyway. But no, absolutely not. Did you consider a gap year?
No, but I did move around a little bit in terms of schools because I knew I wanted to start off in New York City. So I did do that and then realized.
What'd you do?
I was in fashion.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
But from there, I wound up coming back to New Jersey and getting my bachelor's in English. And then from there, went into television. So you just don't know.
It's not linear.
And then
we have to remind our parents of that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So that's good because I think that when these things come up, if you have just a little bit of space in your mind for them ahead of time, not that you need to brace yourself, but you can just kind of, you know, not have that knee-jerk reaction where you're going to be upset or, you know, think,
right,
they're never going to go to college if they take a year off or... Right.
Oh, exactly. And I think when we were growing up, it was more of an elitist thing. Like, mm-hmm. I took a gap year and I backpacked across Europe.
Yes.
It's like, oh, yeah, I was working
right.
at Kmart. You know,
yeah.
I was working at the dry cleaners, but same thing.
Same thing.
So I think it was just not for the average
right.
family. But
right.
the gap year has become an integral piece of the average family whose our kids are just not there yet for independent living. I mean, we also can talk about students with special needs. And when I say special needs, I don't mean like a lot of like significant. I mean just like your average neurodivergent kid, which is like what, one in like 30 now, I think mm-hmm. is the stat. So taking a kid who is, you know, who has neurodivergency, like going to college by him or herself, it's like that's a huge step.
It is.
And just because you're chronologically 18 doesn't mean anything. I'm trying not to curse here. I'll save that for the Patreon
okay,
listeners.
Good.
Yeah. You don't have to edit anything out, Chris, because I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. This is family friendly. But it is something to consider for our kids who have neurodivergent facets to their learning or just their daily living or their social vibe.
Right.
So lots to consider. So
right.
much to consider with
it's
that.
It's true. It's true. So whenever, you know, we talk about these different topics, we always try to make it something that is like a really valuable takeaway and something that's tangible or actionable, right? Something that we can have you go and, you know, use to your advantage, right? So one of the things that I wanted to ask you is when you have someone sitting here listening to our show and they're saying, oh, that's my kid, but I don't know what to do with it. I have no clue. I don't know. Should I tell her to go talk to her school counselor? Should I go and start researching things? So my question to you is, what advice do you give someone if they are interested in exploring any of these like alternative paths? What can they do? Where should they be looking? Who should they be looking to? Who should they be speaking with?
Great questions. First of all, speak to the school counselor.
Start there.
And absolutely hit the internet. Do the searches. And just know, as you're looking through all that information, the gap year can be a formal gap year where you're looking to pay someone or enter into a program that is designed for taking your kid for a certain amount of time. So that's the one type of gap year. And then the other type of gap year is where you're kind of going rogue and you're letting your kid or your family kind of sculpt what that's going to look like. That's usually in the form of a part-time job or a full-time job or an internship or travel. Maybe you're going to send your kid to your cousin Filomena in Milan to learn Italian. So it really could, it just know as you're searching it, there's just two different kinds. And if you go with the formal kind, it is expensive. You could be looking at paying up to, oh gosh, almost like a whole semester of college. So do your research, collaborate with your school counselor. If you have any friends in the business, we over here at Academic Mentoring LLC, like we do consulting like that. You could certainly drop us an email and consult with us. One size does not fit all with the gap year. But more importantly than the what is the why.
Mm-hmm.
Why is a gap year important for your kid? Think about it. Is it academic? What are the grades? We know as teachers, grade inflation is crazy. So, you know, your kid has a 3.5 GPA. That sounds so impressive, right? But if you put all of the GPA data points on a bell curve, you would see that they're flat as like a 75, like mm-hmm. a flat in the middle of things. So what are your struggles? When you look at your kid's grade portal and you see zeros mm-hmm. on a regular basis and they're a junior, they're not doing their work, that's a good sign that your kid's academic fitness is not where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So gap year, why? Is it for academic purposes? If it is, maybe a gap year is not the answer. Maybe community college is a better choice for you. And my nephew is doing this. And it's not that he's a academic unfit kid. It's just he's not even sure if he wants to go to college. So he's doing a part-time job and he's doing part-time community college. So he's going to figure it out. And that's because he's an 18-year-old dude in New Jersey, and he's thriving now. He's going to continue to thrive. But to throw him into a traditional 4-year college, definitely not the jam for him.
Mm-hmm.
And but also to say, hey, go travel, see you later, is also not the thing for him. So a little mix
mm-hmm.
that my brother's doing for his kid. So it's like one or two classes at community college, full-time job or part-time job, like mm-hmm. 30 hours a week, just to balance it all, and he'll figure it out. He's going to figure out what the hell he doesn't like, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe that's what needs to happen sometimes.
So to answer your question, certainly check things out on the internet, touch base with that school counselor, get an honest assessment of academic, emotional, social needs, mm-hmm. and then make those decisions.
Yeah. And some of the nonprofit programs are more of like a work study, right? So if there is some sort of, you know, gap year or any kind of program that is going to take place of a traditional freshman year in college, there are some ways that students can do it, even if they don't, their families don't have, you know, a lot of the resources where they can pay for it. So,
we have to hit pause on that because just because something is nonprofit doesn't mean it's free
yes.
for a kid to join.
Yes.
Like when I ran my field hockey camp technically was a not-for-profit,
right.
which means we couldn't show profit in the bank account. But we paid my co-director and I got paid very well. We asked the kids for money. All my counselors got paid very well. We got new equipment for the rec department. So just because it's nonprofit doesn't mean it's going to be free for you. So please definitely check. I don't think anything is going to be free. You're going to end up paying if you're going with a formal program, no matter where it is.
Yeah.
Even missions trips with your places of worship will require fundraising to a certain extent to
yes.
cover the costs.
Yes.
So could a missions trip be considered a gap year? Absolutely.
Right.
But again, money, there's always, always money involved.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
Good information.
Right? Do you want a gap year, Tara? I do.
I could take one now.
Where would you do? Where would you go?
I would definitely travel somewhere exotic and certainly help people out, learn the language and culture.
Yeah.
Oh, I could do it.
Same. I would be with Filomena
yeah.
in Milan.
Oh, that would be so nice.
Oh, she could teach me to make pasta. I could teach her English.
Yeah.
Oh.
We'll get there one day.
Someday. I think that's called retirement.
Yes.
The third act.
There you go.
Please follow us, subscribe to us, like us, and love us wherever you listen to us.
By subscribing to our podcast, you are helping everyone involved. And don't forget to share with others.
And consider supporting us on Patreon, because as you may know, Tara and I are both public school employees, and these podcasts are not free to produce, but our goal is to provide access to our information to everyone without spending thousands of dollars before your kid even gets to college. So consider supporting us on Patreon at the spectator level, the JV or varsity level. We will give you extra resources and all our love and support. We also want to have special thanks to our producer, Chris Rywalt. Without him, you would be hearing all sorts of terrible bloopers and outtakes. And now for some legal stuff. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational entertainment purposes only, and is provided as is with no guarantee of accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or outcomes. I could keep going, but I will spare you, and I will post this entire legal disclaimer on our website, www.academicmentoringllc.com, under podcast. Tara and I are so glad you joined us today on From Carpool to College. See you next time. Something like that.
Yeah.
Done?
That's good.
Okay, Chris, make that pretty, please. Pretty, please. Make it pretty, please.